kisses, your kiss Medusa's touch. Turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry for doom, and a dagger's thrust with your hair?
Good evening, everyone. And hello. You're listening to Revision Media at revisionmedia.org. Today is Thursday, October 22, 2020. And this, well, this is the Roundtable Unlimited. Every Thursday we present Roundtable Unlimited, featuring unlimited moderators, participants, and topics. Listeners are encouraged to call in and join us weekly for our regular round of open forum discussion. If you'd like to call in, folks, that number is 855-492-6049. That number again, 855-492-6049. And that actually is toll-free in the States, for those who may have concern. Feel free to join a roundtable, share the archive with friends, perhaps, and bring a topic to the floor, comment on something that's already being brought up. This is your chance. Let your voice be heard, you know, and address whatever you see fit. I don't know if we'll do a 2-hour show tonight. I understand we may be in competition with some national viewing of another face-off. Between Trump and Biden, well, between Trump and the moderator, one of those. But it should be interesting. I didn't bother watching the vice president. I didn't bother watching the vice president debate, but yeah. So at least we'll do the first hour here. You know, anyone else wants to join, please jump on. Looks like we have a few gentlemen with us here. We have Graham Sutherland, who just finished his show. He was off and on a few weeks there, had some personal issues, didn't do too many shows the past month, but he's back, just finished a show. And we have, well, we have Mr. John Church, who was just accompanying him on his show, John Church in South Carolina. And I see on the conference, we also have Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener in South Carolina, host of Revision Media and on RBN, Republic Broadcasting. Stephen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
It's good to hear you again, Graham. I was listening to you guys earlier. You know, there's something that I wanted to bring up here. You mentioned that debate between the Biden and Trump is coming on tonight, and the thing that's dominated my social media feed, at least, you know, and partly the news the past week or a half or so, has to do with all of these crimes that Hunter Biden is supposed to have committed, you know, and his laptop. I got a 30-day ban on Facebook because I posted a Gateway Pundit article about that New York Post article about Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, it just seems to me that that big tech has really shown their hand and shown their true face by banning. They shut down Twitter for 2 hours to try to prevent this story from getting out. And I don't know. You've probably heard something called the Streisand effect, where Barbara Streisand tried to prevent anyone from publishing pictures of her house on the coast. And because of her drawing attention to it, those pictures went all over the internet. So, you know, by trying to suppress something like this, they have just brought it to the forefront. And I'm wondering what everybody thinks about this. Do you guys think that this is going to, anything's going to come of this? Is Biden going to be held accountable for the crimes he's committed, for all the bribery, or not? Because 4 years ago, it was one of these debates where Trump was debating Hillary Clinton, and she said something about him being in charge of the Justice Department, and he said, yeah, you'd be in jail. But, you know, she's still not in jail. And they had the goods on her. They had her with a private email server, and they had a lot of evidence where she was using her office for personal gain for her and the Clinton Foundation, and still nothing's been done. So I'm wondering, do you guys think anything will be done to Hunter Biden and Joe Biden and the deep state operatives that have been just selling us down the river, you know, for the past 20 plus years?
One thing I'll say,
is anything going to come of that?
One thing that I'll say, Stephen, and then I'll let someone else take it, is that I'm hearing there's evidence coming out that there are a lot of politicians who were getting in on this for a little bit of the cut. And so this is actually yet again exposing a wider ring of corruption. And so that's why, another reason why the corporate media are, you know, so aligned with big tech at, you know, doing everything possible to suppress this. But like you say, the Barbara Streisand effect is certainly taking hold already, and it seems like it's inevitable already at this point. It's going to get out there to corporate media eventually. Graham?
Well, I've been looking into this as well, and there's a Chinese whistleblower said that they've actually got copies. Apparently there's four hard drives, and the Chinese have got copies to them. And this Chinese whistleblower confirmed that, you know, he's seen them himself. And they do include videos of Hunter Biden abusing and having sex with minors. I'm not sure if those minors were Ukrainian or whether they were Chinese, but it doesn't matter. He confirmed that that was what was on them, as well as evidence of really, really shocking deals that they had done in Ukraine. What happened was they were selling the Ukrainians American missile systems, and the missile systems came with advisors. You know, there had to be American military advisors came across, showed them how to use them, showed them how to set them up and all this. But the Chinese got to hear about it, and the Chinese actually, they ended up buying the whole systems. They bought the whole systems from the Ukraine, and the Ukraine actually put their trained advisors over to China to teach the Chinese how to set up these U.S. military systems. And of course, the Chinese will just clone them. They'll just copy them because now they've got them in their hands. And this is not like an internet conspiracy or whatever. This is all in his laptop, as well as several dodgy deals and bribes, and also a murder. There was a Chinese businessman, a Chinese billionaire, who had something to do with it. Well, Hunter Biden and Joe Biden actually got him bumped off. They actually killed him and basically took his money. That's what this Chinese whistleblower was saying. And he was saying this is, you know, there's evidence to back up everything he's saying. He's not like talking off the top of his head. So, yeah, this goes deep, and it goes into some really dark areas.
And it just flabbergasts me that no one has been arrested yet. And the FBI supposedly has had at least this Hunter Biden laptop. I think there were three laptops altogether that this salesman had. I don't know that the FBI has had the hard drives that the Chinese whistleblower was talking about, but they've had them for up to a year and done nothing about it. You know, it's, It just shows to me that the FBI is completely corrupt, that it's just like an enforcement wing of the Democratic Party at this point, because they did nothing. They exonerated Hillary Clinton or chose not to prosecute her right before the election 4 years ago. I remember Comey coming out and saying that they had, you know, they had reopened the investigation, but no one would prosecute her. And it was funny the way he said that. It was like there was no prosecutor in their right mind, basically, would choose to prosecute Hillary Clinton. You know, wink, wink, because they'd get killed. I mean, that was kind of the implication that I read into that, although that's not what he said. And now, 4 years later, just as bad, if not worse, crimes and worse corruption and evidence of it, and nothing's done. You know, it just, what bothers Stephen? Me.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to mention we have another. Go ahead.
Well, just the thing I want to say is that when Trump ran on this, he was running on lock her up. And you know, that was one of the things that he was going to do. And he hasn't done it yet. I mean, I just wonder if you guys think, will Trump really get to the bottom of this and hold these people accountable? Because I certainly hope so. And yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, on that note, we have another participant joining us, one of our hosts from our Monday show, Falling Dominoes on Revision Media. We have William Repillum. Hello, William.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Will.
Yeah, we're probably just going to focus on the first hour. I know a lot of people are interested to check out this debate. Did you want to comment on what the rest of us were just discussing here?
I just jumped in just now, and I don't know a whole lot about the whole Hunter Biden thing. But I know that they're going to be turned into mice off when Trump steps out of the program narrative, you know, tonight. So that's going to be really uninteresting to watch. And I'm sure we're going to see a lot of the Trump speaking, and that it's going to be no mic. But, you know, they've been censoring him on the internet. They're getting away with that. So, you know, to Stephen's point, yeah, it's frustrating to watch them do absolutely nothing, and it's quite a gamble to wait for the second term to do something about it. But I do think that it takes time to set things up, and you do kind of have to wait for the second term. Hopefully, it does happen. It's awfully nerve-wracking. Tonight I got a call from a People's Action. I actually picked up the phone, and I'm like, who is this and why are you calling me? Oh, I'm from People's Action. So I was like, oh, okay, no, I'm not interested. I hung up and I look it up and it's Defeat Trump. So these people are, there's not for anything. They're just for, you know, they're just nihilists, you know, just defeat Trump. And, you know, you get this drone just calling in saying, you know, they're calling on behalf of every part of me wants to talk to them and tell them, explain to them what the Jews are and the Bolshevik Revolution and all the millions of people that were tortured to death and murdered. And that's what's going to happen if Joe Biden wins. It's going to be the Bolshevik Revolution again. And a lot of people are going to die in a brutal death, probably worse than the Bolshevik. Probably the worst thing we've ever seen in human history. Terms of, you know, brutal death and destruction of the white race, especially. And it's already in motion. I mean, it's just happening. It'll just be accelerated under Joe Biden and Kamala, you know, on her knees, Harris.
Yeah, I do agree that Trump has not given the Jews everything they want, although a lot of people will criticize pro-Trump pro-Trump people who are pro-Western culture, pro-white, saying, well, yeah, he isn't doing enough or something. But like you say, there's only so much that can be done. As far as his son-in-law, there's only so much control you have over who your daughter marries. That is true. And many say it's perhaps a blessing in disguise. He can get away with a lot more with Kushner as his son-in-law, perhaps, than without. They'd really be labeling him anti-Semite white supremacist otherwise. But, you know, he is, to some extent, at least pushing back on denouncing white supremacy and all of this sort of thing. Sure, he moved the embassy, but it seems like there are some things you have to do when you're president. And, yeah, at the moment, play ball with the Likud party seems to be part of that. But he does seem to be very much a pro-white and pro-Western culture, you know, the culture we've had, which is conservative and it's anti-communist. So, yeah, I'd say that he's...
Yeah,
and Jews, Jewish lobby groups, you know, are behind the Jewish communism. You know, I mean, it comes from, you know, they're thinkers. And the Marxist BLM leaders, you know, they're not hiding it at all. So I'd say Trump is against the Bolshevik takeover of the nation. Stephen.
Yeah, I think all of the guys that Rittenhouse shot were from Antifa were Jewish pedophiles, actually. At least two out of the three. I'm not sure about all three. But I did hear someone make the comment, or maybe I read this, that Trump was the first president that had ever been able to force, and I don't know about this force, but to get Netanyahu to sign a peace treaty. You know, and I just want, you know, that was a different way of looking at it. I've always heard that he was, Israel's choice, and it was make Israel great again and all that. But you're right. It's just being president of the United States. I mean, AIPAC and the dual citizens control most of this country. Yeah, I don't see how you can just go against that. He's doing the best he can, I think, you know, and I'm not sure about that. I think the second term will tell us what his true colors are. But that was true when I went back last time that there was a treaty signed with the Israelis. That was with the Oslo Accords. Wasn't that in the 90s? That's been a while. And, you know, there was the one that was with Jordan. And then before that, it was in the 70s with Egypt. So, you know, it does seem that Trump has a little bit of play or pull, whatever, with the Israelis, because they just love him, you know. He did the one thing he did do that more than moving the embassy, I think, was to recognize their claim on the Golan Heights, and that seemed like a bit of a stab in the back to Syria. But you know, at least he hasn't completely tried to take Assad out the way Obama wanted to. It's confusing where Trump really stands sometimes. The most upset that I've been with him was when he launched those missiles into Syria, like after he'd been in office a few months, and when he repeated the White Helmet's lie about that gas attack. I think it was in Douma, somewhere in Syria. And I heard that it was Ivanka that was upset about that, and that she put the bug in Daddy's ear, and then he went after him and fired those missiles, although it's reported that he fired the missiles at empty bases and gave plenty of warning ahead of time. So it's hard to know exactly where he comes down. I think that we won't know until a second term, and I sure hope that no Biden gets in there. I can't imagine Biden getting in. After all the stuff that's come out about his corruption and his son and his dementia, it's just... I question anyone's sanity who would want to see Biden in the White House, and that goes for Richard Spencer as well. Sorry, I just don't understand the accelerationist viewpoint where people want to just send everything to hell in a handbasket, so then maybe we can build from the ashes. I mean, no, look, we need to stop this thing and turn it around if we can. We don't need to accelerate it and make it worse. And I understand it's a hard slog, but I'm just not ready to give up yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, the accelerationism, it's going to just end up and everything's going to be destroyed. No, I think they're going to build their infrastructure and we're going to be destroyed. But they'll continue to fulfill their goals of having 500 million people in the world instead of 8 billion. And that basically genociding 90% of the world, following their Georgia Guidestones that are right down there in Georgia. And, you know, continue on with Agenda 21, continuing their fake news, censoring everybody on the internet, going from door to door probably, and anybody, political dissidents, taking them out of their house, using drone warfare against, you know, the people of the country. All, you know, everything China's doing. That's what Biden is basically Chinese.
And they've already started it in Australia as well with the going door to door and arresting people for their Facebook posts. I saw several videos that people had been literally arrested for posting dissident views on Facebook. I guess it was in Victoria, Australia. That's really disheartening the way that's gone so far. And that's the way they want to send. That's what they want to do to us. The left and the Democrats have already come out and said that they want to have re-education camps and what they call truth and reconciliation commissions after the election, where they purge all of the people who supported Trump or who stood in the way of their narrative. Just blatantly wanting to wipe us out. This guy, Keith Olbermann, man, what a scum. I heard him. He said he's just been nuts several times since this has gone on, and he was talking about wanting to wipe out all of the people who supported Trump, that we are scum and we're the problem, and that they're just going to have to eliminate us so that this quote unquote can never happen again. In other words, no one could stand up to their lies again, and it's come down to that. I mean, it's life or death. I agree, man. We're going to have to, if we don't get Trump back in, we're done for. I really do think so.
Yeah.
War in the street.
And it's going to have to be the similar, the action that they're trying to take against us. I think it's going to have to happen to them.
I agree.
Especially these people that are threatening this kind of stuff, you know, people like Keith Olbermann, or I don't know personally about him, but, you know, he's just echoing the same thing that so many, I've heard as well, what you're mentioning. Kamala Harris, you know, talking about coming back at people with such a vicious vengeance. I mean, these people are literally rabid and frothing at the mouth. Just completely soulless, evil people. They have no soul whatsoever. And
they're completely.
I don't know. I mean, do you just let it continue? There's a war coming. You know, it's just, they're just not going to let up.
They're completely sold on the anti-white agenda. I mean, they're saying the Harris-Biden ticket is the most anti-white that we've seen for the presidency.
For sure.
And so, I mean, they're total anti-white, pro-communist, pro-Black Lives Matter. As far as the expectation with lockdowns, vaccines being mandatory, we know how they're in lockstep with that, as big tech is, you know. So I mean, we have this Hunter Biden story and all the corruption about it censored. We have anything going against the lockdowns and vaccine companies and World Health Organization censored, and we see that all of these forces are in tandem working together. So I mean, it's pretty clear, those who try to say that, you know, being pro-Trump or pro QAnon is just a complete joke. You know, they're not looking at the boots on the ground facts, if you will. And yeah, all signs point to we are much better off with Trump in all of those ways regarding vaccines, lockdowns, and certainly this you know, this anti-police, pro-communism, anti-white. This is just off the charts.
I saw one other echo of the 2016 debates today, just a few hours ago. Tonight, Trump is going to invite Hunter Biden's ex-business partner, who I think he may have gotten this person out of prison to do this, but I'm not sure it's the same one. But he's going to invite him to the debate as his guest. And when he debated Hillary Clinton 4 years ago, he had several of Bill Clinton's rape victims there as his guest. And I thought that was, you know, that was a good move at the time. But, you know, Hillary's not in jail yet. Nothing's been done, you know, to get any justice for what happened. But I guess we can hope. You know, scares me that this whole thing could be like WWE wrestling and, it's just all put on as a show for us.
We're going to have to run to the screens, so we'll just have a quick, slightly under hour show here and then get our popcorn and pretzels. But,
okay.
Now this is not...
Probably won't start right at 9.
That's true. We could
like
probably...
9, 10 or something.
All right, good point. Yeah, we don't have to be that extreme. Note taken. I do.
I'm waiting for a text to come through for me when they start, and then I was going to jump off. Mm-hmm. That's just me, you know.
Okay.
Well, as far as
we've got about half an hour yet,
I'd like us to still have a white pill to take from this on all these points, including the ability to still push back the anti-white agenda that we're talking about, and nationalism, for that matter. Now, this is not going to be Groundhog Day. I promise, folks, this will not be Groundhog Day. But I do have another update for you of the situation with Golden Dawn. I do have another update, a brief one from George in Greece. And it seems all systems are working fine, so... there shouldn't be an issue here, and we can comment on it. So let me play. This was from this morning, October 22nd, 2020, on Don Black's show Stormfront, George in Greece, with a Golden Dawn update.
So anyway. We do have George from Greece with us. Good morning, George.
Good morning, gentlemen. A short answer to Dr. Slattery. There's a very interesting book called El Diario del Cristobal Colón. It's the diary of Columbus's first voyage to the West Indies. And it's a hugely important primary source regarding his first voyage. And in that book, Columbus himself describes the land that lay before him as the Indies. So, yes, he was thinking he had reached East Asia, and that's the narrative. Yeah.
I mean, I think what's significant about Christopher Columbus is A, the bravery in just sailing to the west in order to get to the east. I mean, that's brave and bold. And so that's admirable. And then, of course, he connected the New World to the Old World, even if he didn't know it, by making round trips. To be the navigator on a trip where people had absolutely no idea where they were. It's still commendable in certain ways, but they had no idea where they were.
Yes, I've been looking into the deal about the first voyage of Columbus, and pretty interesting story regarding the knowledge people back then had about the globe, about the size of the Earth, etc. It's a very, very interesting book, and it's hugely important because it's a primary source. I absolutely recommend everybody to buy this book. It's El Diario del Cristobal Colón. I think it's from Utah University Press or something, Iowa, or I really don't remember. So anyway, right now, as we speak, the leadership of the Golden Dawn is being taken to prison right now. I'm watching it live. And people, the leadership there is looking at 13 years in prison. And the leader of the Golden Dawn, Michal Olliakos, is right now is 64 years old. So it's another show from the usual suspects trying to demonize our ideology and spread fear among our people. So it's right now as we speak, guys. So that's the end of the that's the end of the Golden Dome deal here in Greece. Everybody's been taken to jail, and we really don't know what's going to happen from here on. But as a last note, I would like to remind everybody, and keeping in mind that everything has become so dangerous online these days, I would like to remind everybody listening, everybody within our movement, that our movement survived all these decades post-World War II by physical mail and the HF, and people were doing all right. We kept the fire alive by just by using physical mail and the radio frequencies. We might have to revert back into that in the near future, because as we as things are the way that things are looking right now, things are looking pretty bleak. Everybody's going to be silenced. Everybody's going to be prosecuted. And I don't know where these guys are going to lead us to. But we might have to be forced to revert back to the old methods of communication. So that's my two cents for today, guys. And thanks for taking my call. Have a great day.
Well, thank you, George. Always good to hear from you in Greece.
Yeah, we really appreciate hearing from you, George, from your perspective there. And our perspective here looks pretty bleak, too, but interesting times. Right, guys?
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure where I am right now on the in the Western Hemisphere, I can see the water outside my window. So
yeah, well, they were pretty good with latitude, but not longitude. Longitude was something that didn't get settled for a couple more centuries.
Yeah. All right. Well, we think we know something nowadays about where we are, at least, but it's not always good. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm Don Black with my co-hosts Patrick Slattery and Jay.
All right. Well, I know it's a tall order to bring a positive note out of that, a white pill, but George and Greece is still determined through underground means, if nothing else, that they will continue keeping the nationalist movement in Greece alive. I would say that his spirit, in spite of what just happened, is the white pill. And with that, we have a new participant. I'd like to hear their comment first. Tony in Virginia, and thank you for joining us tonight, Tony.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to miss that. I enjoyed everything going on. I called for another reason, but as far as that, since that's the clip that you just played, I don't know. What is the game plan? I wondered that back in the Renegade days, right, when you were there and you know, and other people, like, what do we do when you shut the internet down? Like, what is the game plan? I guess that's what we need to work on. And it's like, you know, and of course you're on RBN, which I like and I love and respect. And I'm sure you listen to Rivero, and there's that guy, Paul, that calls in, which I think is a douchebag. I hate saying that. I mean, right. I got serious problems with him. I think he's an asshole and a half.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's another reason why I wanted to call in and go into that. But I won't go into that. If you want me to go into that later, I'll go into that because that was the original reason why I called.
Yeah, definitely.
And not so much attacking him. Maybe I'm being unfair. But,
no.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, there needs to be some kind. And I don't have a lot of privacy. That's another reason why I'm hesitating to call him right now, because I live with people. And I'm drinking, man. And I can't drive around and whatever and drink, but I want to drink because I'm stressed and I need to drink. I'm sorry. People can think what the hell they want to think. I'm not so worried about saying I'm stupid because I'm drinking, but because I'm drinking and I live with other people and they don't share my views, it can cause problems. But anyway, I'm on the radio. Now, as far as that, I don't know. What is, I mean, and that's really, that's important, right? And the reason Paul came up and all of this and everything, like, what has Trump done for that? And I hate getting into this Trump bashing type of thing, right? But I'm not deluded into thinking that he's there for us. And for all the people that think, you know, he's doing this counter-espionage, double-tricking the Jews. I just think you're totally wrong on that, man. The alt-right and all the people think that, you're not his base. His base are Christian Zionists. He's coming from more of a Christian Zionist view. Now, maybe he's becoming more awake to this or whatever. But anyway, I don't want to go there because you just played the clip. And in relation to that clip, exactly, what is the plan? Like, when they shut down the internet, when they do this net, when they do it, how, I mean, you're in Chicago. I'm in Virginia, man. I don't know where everyone else here is on this call, right? I mean, he's in Scotland. They want to make that not happen, right? I mean, it's already with this mask, with everything that they're doing to make it difficult for people that you're close to. The internet is something that these elite and these globalists didn't account for, and it's so obvious now, right? The way they control the information, we try to ignore it. I've been listening to CNN for like a month now because my family listens to it. I'm trying to figure out why they're so effed up in the head, okay? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and listen to CNN. And CNN isn't even talking about that laptop and all that. But I had to actually ask the guy I work with. I said, is Fox covering that? Because I haven't been listening to Fox, right? Because I've been listening to CNN. I normally would listen to Fox and don't trust them either because I do my own research when I can. I'm sorry for this ramble, but so I've been listening to CNN, and they're just not even. I mean, just they're not even. CNN is nothing but 24/7. You got to wear the mask, and all these people are dead because of Trump, and it's still a 200,000 figure that they use. They go into the millions of cases, this, that, and the other thing, and they push. And the thing is, me, even if you had that political bent, it should be so obvious to anyone that they're so. The word is eluding me, but they've so wedded themselves, they've married themselves to this philosophy that they can't back out of it, right? They can't say, well, look, it was better to be safe than sorry. Okay, maybe it isn't as dangerous as we thought, but, you know, we wanted to be careful, and okay, it seems that, okay, this isn't as dangerous. No, they can't back off of it, man. So they're just full steam ahead with it, and why not? Why not if these morons, look, you're surrounded by idiots. I'm sorry. You are surrounded by idiots. That's why democracy does not work, because 10 fools are not worth one wise man. And when every single idiot out there, I had a customer the other day, this guy looked me dead. I couldn't believe, I'd be embarrassed to say this. This guy said to me, I've been unemployed for 5 years. I would be embarrassed to say, living a 40-year-old man, living in his father's house, man, who hasn't worked in 5 years. Of course, he's voting for, and you know, the way he approached me was like, well, you know, it's the lesser of the evils, and for me, that's Biden. And I'm like, I'm sorry, man. Look, I'm sorry I've rambled. I've taken up time. No. But yeah, I don't know.
He's conditioned.
TV radios, what are we going to do?
Well, he's conditioned that Trump is as evil as the corporate media says. And part of it's probably this whole white supremacy angle. They link to Trump. You know, and they, you know, anyone who could allow him to continue. I have a
no, they friend. Don't see it. They don't, let me just real quick and then go and continue. I just want to make a point, because when I was talking to this guy, right, who was unemployed and all this shit for 5 years, pardon my language, for 5 years and everything like that, and I told him, I said, look, I said, I'm explaining how Trump was less of these men, and I said, it would not surprise me. I said, this sounds ludicrous and crazy, but if Biden, Kamala Harris get in there, it would not surprise me if they came up with a tax just for white people. That would not surprise me. And he said, oh, that's crazy, whatever. I'm like, okay, we'll see. It may not be as crazy acceleration as other people think, but I would not put that past them.
California is already getting close, you know, with the reparations.
Isn't that what reparations is?
Yeah. So I'd say it's definitely a situation where a lot of these people have actually been drinking all of the Kool-Aid all along. And they somehow really believe. I mean, I have a friend, I was going to say, you know, since my teens, a fellow musician, a guitarist. And he, I guess, has always been rather left-leaning, but I realized it more so in recent years when he posts on social media. And he's reposting these memes saying that Trump is the biggest problem with America today. And I just can't see how someone actually has been, and he's an intelligent guy, so I just can't see how people swallow all this hook, line, and sinker, or the entire picture of Kool-Aid. William?
Yeah, I was saying, isn't that what reparations is, a tax on white people? Reparations.
Yeah,
they're happening. They're going to,
in California, I was saying that they're bringing up that very thing to possibly, have taxed, Californian tax money go to reparations for Californians. Oh, blacks, I guess, not all people of color or whatever in their situation. But right. It's a slippery slope. You know, next thing you know, you'll be taxed for being white, just like you say.
That's right. That's the only logical conclusion that you can draw from something like that. Of course, that's where it's going to go. What else? Where else would they? I mean, everybody's going to pitch into that, I guess. I don't know. But it's the perpetrator victim, and the perpetrator is white, and the victim is black. So,
Hey, Graham.
Whether they started out in a different way, they'll start it out like they started out, the 1965 Hart-Celler Act.
Right.
Oh, it's just going to be a little bit of immigration, no big deal. No, it's being used to wipe your people out, the plan all along.
Tony, I was just going to say, Tony just said a lot there to elaborate on. And I see Graham unmuted over in Scotland there. Graham, did you have a... something you wanted to comment on, anything Tony was mentioning, or the clip of George from Greece talking about the arrest of Golden Dawn and the need for all nationalism to go underground, any of these things?
Not really, no, but I did have something to throw into the mix. I thought
sure.
It was quite interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a female... I don't know. I can't remember. She was in some kind of local authority employment in America, and she was saying that there's something major happening in America, and no one's talking about it, and that is people disappearing. There's family and friends looking for loads of people that just kind of left. They just left their home, to go and visit friends or relatives, in another state or whatever, and they never arrived. And hundreds of homeless people have disappeared.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. There's a bunch of homeless people disappear. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but yeah, I heard that something like that too. Please elaborate. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no. This female was, she was coming from some sort of statistician's point of view. Like I say, she was working for some sort of local authority, and her job basically was to, to kind of track people, look after people, catalogue people, catalogue the amounts of people that are, without a home and this kind of stuff. And she was saying she was absolutely alarmed that the fact that there was, large amounts of so-called homeless people and people living in the woods and this kind of stuff, which is becoming more and more, the thing in America, as a recession bites, they were just disappearing. No trace, absolutely no trace, no SOS call, nothing like that. They just vanished. And she was saying it's never been reported on the mainstream media, but people are disappearing by the thousand, not a few dozen, by the thousand. Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. I mean,
my question would be this: are they actually dead, and something there was some foul play, or are these people that are ahead of the game and they see where everything's going and they just disappeared electronically? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the homeless thing would make you suspicious. I don't know, but anyway, please elaborate, gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone else. I was reading some of the comments underneath the video, and it was basically saying, that maybe they have been rounded up and put in the FEMA camps. Maybe this is the start of it.
Yes.
Well, that's locally here in South Carolina, in Columbia, before the coronavirus thing all started, they had formed they had a place that was basically a camp where they were rounding homeless people up and putting them in this camp. And people could come and go, I believe, as they wanted to here, but they would pick people up in the capital of South Carolina. And, that was a pretty big story maybe a year before the virus started. I have not heard anything about it since. There's still a curfew in Colombia, I believe, and there was a curfew there for a long time. It just seems like a lot of those kind of things are happening around our capital. I have noticed locally that I don't see as many people out in the street as I used to either. There were, you know, I would see some homeless people congregate a few different places in town, and I haven't seen them in a while. So there is something happening. I don't know what it is. That's ominous sounding, though it is.
Yeah, it is. Well, we're kind of expecting it to happen, weren't we?
Yep.
Did you get any information on the demographics of the people that are disappearing?
Well, it seems to be all over America. It's not like all in the South or all in the North or whatever. It's just, you know, missing persons. Reports coming in from all 50 states.
And you said not all homeless either. People who had left to visit family and never arrived, too.
That's right.
That's even more ominous.
Yeah, it's
like going missing. Demographics.
Yeah. Also, other people, you know, nothing to do with homelessness or anything like that, just ordinary, regular folk, just going interstate and never arriving at their destination and absolutely no clue as to what happened to them in between point A and point B. Strange.
Tony, do you plan on watching the debate tonight?
I don't know. That was my plan. I could catch it after the fact. So that didn't matter. I hesitated to call in some because I don't have any privacy. I'm living with people and I'm drinking, so I can't be running around driving. And I like to listen. This whole thing about the missing people, I don't know. And honestly, I mean, I know I'm not the only one, so I'm just going to put it out here. Why not? That thinks about, man, you might need to drop out. You know what I'm saying? Because the way, especially when you're seeing what's going on here, right? When you're seeing the in your face obvious. And I got family. You talk about people disappearing from point. I could see why people. Look, I got family that I do not trust. Okay? And I could see why people could see the way shit's going and you watching, they're drinking the Kool-Aid and you're not drinking the Kool-Aid. The whole threat of vaccines. Come on, man. How many people are like. Now, there's a part of me, like, because I do listen to Giuliani. Now, he's interesting. I'm not saying I'm going to take his view. But Giuliani on Renegade there, and by the way, if you're a religious person, you may not, or maybe you should listen to him if you're a truther, right? I'll just say that, okay? But, you know, one of the things, I'm kind of paraphrasing him, and he was talking about how, you know, people say that they stockpile this and they do that and they're doing. He goes, I'm not stockpiling anything. He's like, when it comes to the point where I can't just go to my local store and buy food or this, that, it's done. It's over. We've lost. And he goes, I'm just going to try to take out as many people as I can. You know what I'm saying? I'm not stockpiling. And so I want to live like that. And, you know, some ways, though, I think if more people did think that way, and we're thinking it's prepping, you know, it's like a bumper sticker I saw one time that said, if you think it's time to bury your if you think it's time to bury your guns, you're wrong. It's time to dig them up.
Yeah.
So just ponder on that for a little bit, okay? You know, and part of me thinks that's right. If we didn't have that attitude, and the first thing that comes to mind when I'm speaking about this is one time I saw these lions take down, and this was an African bull elephant in Africa, and it was like, it took like 30 lions, this was no bullshit, and they just kept coming behind, I'm sorry, BS, they're coming behind this elephant, and I kept thinking, man, just turn around and charge them, all you gotta do, but he kept seeing more lions coming, and more lions coming, and they kept coming, and you could see like where this lion had jumped on its back, and you're talking about three, and it's still, compared to an elephant, it's nothing, man, that 300-pound cat on the back of that elephant would be like a house cat on your back. That's what it was. It was like nothing, man. But they kept coming, and there was more, and there was more, and there was more, and he kept running and trying to get away. And I was like, dude, I kept rooting for the elephant. I was like, turn around, man. Just turn around. Don't run from them. Charge those bastards, sons of bitches, man. Because none of them, they may think you're brave, but no. If you go, you need to go forward. You need to go at them. But like I say, you know, it's time to bury, dig, hide. What are you going to do when you hide? You think when, and they know that. Let's just say that. They, you know who they are. I don't even have to go into that. But they know that, oh, yeah, you go hide this and that. What are you going to do when it's when you're going to come? When you come out, they've already controlled everything. No, you can't let it get to that. That whole philosophy is wrong. That whole philosophy, carrying your guns, hiding this, digging that, waiting for that. So, but then again, it's like, oh, am I saying the accelerationist? I don't like Richard Spencer. I'm going to be honest. I just don't respect him for several reasons. And you know what? One of the main reasons I respect him, I'm sorry for saying this, right? I don't like to pick on someone because, look, I'm a short person. So I know right away, right, that I probably wouldn't make a good leader. People would just look at me and disrespect me. And it doesn't matter whether the perceptions are real or not. It matters what works. What will bring the victory, man? He talks with that lispy voice. It sounds very gay. And what makes it worse is one time he was sitting with Charles Barkley, and Charles Barkley is a very dominant, masculine man. I have respect for him in some, you know, I'm not even going to that. But Charles Barkley is showing this guy respect, looking at, you know, even though he's listening for his arguments, and then he goes on and makes some comment about how something seems gay. And it's like, you seem gay. This guy is being polite enough to, like, say, oh, I'm not going to look at the fact that you seem gay, but I'm going to listen to your argument about, you know, which comes across to Charles Barkley as white supremacy or whatever. And he comes up like that, this lispy guy, and him with this, I have no respect for him. I don't like him. And I'm like, he should understand, man, that it's not leading to victory. I don't know. I don't mind saying that. I don't mind because you're projecting an image. You have all this type of thing going, right? If I ran a business and I hired bouncers, man, you know, I could find out. You know, I mean, I don't know, right? This guy Spencer could be a third degree black. I don't think so, though, because I watched him get punched in the face, man. And he act. No, look, I'm sorry. He did act like a bitch, dude. My reaction, if I get punched like that and I'm not on the ground, I'm ready to fight. That's my first damn reaction, man. But maybe not when you're surrounded, when you feel like you're, I don't know, man. I know I don't respect him. I don't like him. And it's the combination of things. And maybe I'm not being fair because I realize that the people at Renegade previously, they did all this anti-Trump stuff on the first go around and they were taking at least Kyle was, right? He was taking the accelerationist view. And I was like, okay, I respect that to some degree. I didn't agree with it. I don't think you're right. My problem with the accelerationist is I still think that so many of our people are so dead asleep that you're not going to wake up in time. And I think, you know, but I don't know. It looks bad, in my honest opinion. I mean, I don't know. As far as the election, again, I think they have to steal it. I think Trump, Biden has no support. But then again, they probably have some blackmail on Trump and all of them, the powers that be. You can't get in these positions. And this is why I'm looking at like it's the lesser of evils. It's always the lesser of two evils. All the people that want a virtue signal and act like they're not that. Look, whoever found the perfect wife, whoever found a perfect friend, man, any friend you have, any female relationship you have or something, there's something you don't like about them. But that was the lesser. But there's more that you did like about them that you didn't like about them. Then the next person down, and if there's more that you don't like about them, you do like about them, then you break the relationship.
And I
mean,
see
that's just real life, man.
And that's why I see it's relevant the way you brought up. Not everyone here listens to Michael Rivero, but you and I do. And Paul in New Jersey. I mean, yeah, he's so coming down on Trump. I like that Michael finally called him out today and said, "Well, tell me some negative things about Biden." You know, because yeah, for once, it doesn't make sense, you know, especially right before an election when we know we have to go with Trump. He calls every day, 5 days a week, complaining about Trump, saying all these bad things about Trump. And that's all his, you know, shtick, if you'll pardon the expression, is at the moment. But that's
no,
what it comes off as.
Exactly. Since I brought... Tony. Oh, quit, because I talk too much. Quit. Yes, sir.
No problem. Yeah, I just wanted to answer your question about what's the plan. What's the game plan? Well, the game plan is you're gonna what do you live in a county that's to Second Amendment sanctuary? So you're in Virginia and almost
no,
every county.
No, I'm in Virginia and 90% of it is, but no, I'm not. But that doesn't matter because I have relatives all over this state and several states further in the South. So I might as well put it out there because I don't mean to watch. I panicked when Northam and all that shit first happened, and I got my shit out of the state even. But I actually have relatives in other parts of the state. And here's the other thing, man. I can think outside of the box, man. I don't need a 5-car, man. You know, when I thought about that guy that got his head cut off recently, I'm like, what a dumbass. That wouldn't happen to me. No, it wouldn't. I would already know, okay, they're going to get me eventually. But if I had done what he did, no, you know it's coming. I would have figured out, look,
This is not what no. There are probably people in Europe that are listening to us, and I'm here to tell you, man. You can find a way to throw flame. You can find a way to throw flame. If I already know I've insulted their prophet and they're coming to kill me and somebody wants to take my head, man, and I don't know the particulars, but was it a one-on-one situation? How the hell do you lose a one-on-one situation when you already know it's coming, man? Are you stupid? What kind of sitting duck was it? I'm not trying to disrespect this guy. But again, why don't they question the fact that your freedom of speech, you can't criticize Jews. You can't criticize the Holocaust. But yeah, you can criticize Muslims and lose your head like a fool. I would have lost my head eventually. Eventually, you're going to get me, right? But no, I'd have seen that shit coming. And the first fool that thought he was going to take my head, I'd flame broil his ass. And if he had any identification on it, anyway, never mind. I shouldn't be saying this. You know, maybe I shouldn't drink and call in. But I would have defended myself. I would have been ready for that. And
I think
he would have went with me. There, whoever had cut my head, he wouldn't be getting arrested. Either we'd both be getting carried off in a body bag, we wouldn't, or he right. would. But you know, right. How the hell did he not know that someone was going to come and get him? What the hell do these people, what are they thinking? But that's the whole emasculation. This is the problem with Western civilization, man. When I look at this, I mean, it's like, and I'm sorry, man, the French... I don't know, man.
Hey, Tony.
If anyone wants to comment, I'm sorry. I probably won't. Yes, yeah. Please elaborate.
So you wanted to know what the game plan was. I think that the game plan is that you got to get into a 2A sanctuary county and start getting to know your sheriff and getting to know your local people and start telling them about the Jews. And just start making strategic alliances on there. That's my two bits. And I got that from...
Well, here's the thing. It's not the Jew. You got to be careful. You can't... It's Jewish influence.
You have to be careful.
Zionism,
yeah,
these type of things.
Start,
this is why I agree, right? If you just say...
About
if you just go to people...
Information.
Yeah. And you just say...
You can start with first-level information and you lead up to it. You have different
tiers
of information
that you present.
Well, no, when they have the knee-jerk reaction. Right. So you present it in tiers. Like you start with this, then you leads up to this, and leads into this, and you've pretty soon, you know, you've gotten you've marinated your situation properly. So
I think Tony was just suggesting at first you don't want to come at them phrasing things like just Jews
right.
with blanket terms.
Right.
They're going to be more resistant to that, and yeah terms like Zionist or you know the Jewish agenda, you could refer to Jewish lobby groups, explain to them just how all these groups are so anti-white, even how the entire Jewish religion is a bit of a cult and has double standards for non-Jews. I mean, but yeah, I see where Tony's coming from as well, especially if you're red-pilling new people, you want to... take it in steps, even in the way you refer to just like, oh, you know, everything is Jews, you know, and the way you. Right?
Honestly, I don't even know that you have to do that. To be honest, it's the communism, right? They run around screaming Nazi, 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 right? You need to scream commie, commie, commie. They've rebranded, like they say anti, they don't say communist. They are communists. BLM is communist. Antifa are communists, right? They don't run around screaming. See how they play the game? You're a Nazi just for being white, okay? Or whatever. If you're not in other words, if you don't subscribe, and they play this name game, name calling, it all boils down to, it's so childish, it's so immature. But all I can tell you, if you're a reasonably intelligent person, is that you're surrounded by people who are not reasonably intelligent. And that is a very difficult thing. But just imagine how difficult it would have been if you'd lived 100, 200, 300, 400 years ago. I mean, I think about these things and I realize, man, what the people who had to live in those times and deal with all the superstition and all the crazy stuff that were highly intelligent, and you just realize that the masses are not. That's why the masses shouldn't rule. People should be ruled by their betters, right? But the problem is that when it comes to good and evil, and which it really boils down to selfishness, okay, versus self-sacrificing for the good of the better, and you get into that, is that the problem is that highly intelligent people are also evil as well. And that's why you have these evil people at the top, and they're sick and they're messed up and they don't care, man. I mean, this, I mean, like Hunter Biden, right? You think about this. I really think this really did happen, right? With this laptop and all this, man, because he was a drug addict, man. The guy was whacked out on drugs, and people get whacked out on drugs and this and that in their life. And then there's people, man, that are connected. And they have this, they have that going, and they're like, holy crap, man, I'm getting away with this. Your average guy will probably find Jesus, look for something, some structure or something, and he'll get off crack, and he'll whatever, he won't. But the people that can keep doing it and keep getting away with it, and just think about this. It works the same way with something sick like pedophilia or something else like that, right? Like your average person of low income that has some pedophile tendency or something like that is going to end up in prison right away, or something bad is going to do this or that. But people with wealth and connection and this type of thing, and it's just
too comfortable.
I don't know why the general public. Yeah, I don't know why the public puts up with it.
Right.
It's just, to me, it is just so outrageous that in the middle of the impeachment, I mean, the FBI, everything's, the FBI had all this, and the only reason they have to admit it now, I mean, it's so, anyway, it's, and it's,
well, we'll
so
have
obvious,
to,
you know,
we'll have to continue.
But, yeah.
It looks like we're about to lose some people anyway, Tony, if we tried to continue the debate. It's like a minute.
Going to the debate.
Yeah, it's like a minute to the debate.
Yeah.
But I hope all you gentlemen come back next week. And really, even if you aren't in the best situation every night, Tony, I mean, this is a support group, folks. I think all of you should return. You know?
Absolutely, fellas. Enjoyed to listen to you. I'll be back next week.
Whitener, right? What's his name? Whitener?
Yes.
The guy talking
Stephen
right now?
Whitener. That's me. Yeah, Tony.
You're the one.
I agree with you about we got to stand up to this now. I agree with you. We can't go run and hide. We got to stop this and push it back now. But, yeah, enjoy
your
yourself.
Your voice is a blessing to me. I really enjoy your input. You motivated me to call in. I really enjoy your input, brother. Thank you so much.
I hope. I hope you guys are back next week. Tony, Stephen, William, Graham. John, everyone, have a great night.
Yeah, and I love Graham, too. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right, gentlemen. See you next week.
Cheers.
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 Your kiss, Medusa's touch, turn into a pillar of salt. To die now would be perfection. Then my loneliness closes in, so I drink a German wine and drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. And drift in dreams of other lives and greater times. Grab my mind, drunken thoughts of wounds and men. Why does the devil leave for us this legacy of loneliness, this cry?